believers really can disagree and still be friends. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Key Life. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach. You apply it to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible open to the book of Daniel, I'm probably going to be able to get to some of the text today. If you were listening yesterday, you probably are still shaking your head, saying, what was he talking about? That didn't make a bit of sense. Actually, I listened to it, and I thought, what was I talking about? That didn't make a bit of sense. Well, let me repeat it and try to explain it just a little bit. I was using, you will remember, the assertion made by some unbelievers to show that the Christian faith is wrong, the dating of the book of Daniel. They say that it is not a book that was written during the time of Daniel because he predicted the future. It happened just the way he said it would happen. Therefore, he must have not predicted the future because everybody knows you can't predict the future. Therefore, the book of Daniel has to be written at a late date. And I suggested yesterday that what they have done is not prove that the book of Daniel is to be dated late. What they have simply done is that they have eliminated the supernatural by definition. In other words, they have said, major premise, it's impossible for anybody to predict the future. Minor premise, Daniel predicted the future and was accurate. Therefore, conclusion, Daniel didn't predict the future, and the book was written by somebody else. Now, please note that they had an unprovable faith assumption, and every system has that. You need to know that your atheist friend, your pagan friends that make fun of you about your religious views, about your convictions, about your Christian faith, they have a basic faith assumption just like you do. Only you have a whole lot of reasons for accepting the faith assumption that you do. Now, I don't know if I explained that any better than I did yesterday, but I hope so. You remember the time that Socrates had a young man come to him, and the young man said he wanted to know truth, and Socrates took him down to the river and dunked him under the water and held him there until he thought he was going to die. And then he pulled him up by the hair and said, son, when you want truth the way you just then wanted air, then you will have it. Let me tell you something that you need to know. Unbelief is volitional as well as belief being volitional. In other words, people choose not to believe. And there are a lot of good reasons not to believe. I don't have to be accountable to anybody. I can have fun. I can look out for number one. I don't have to be compassionate. I don't have to be loving. I can get rich, and I don't have to think about anybody else. And there are a lot of reasons for belief, too. For instance, you can live forever. You can be forgiven. You can have meaning in your life. Now, you need to know that when you want to believe, because your life is so messed up, the way Socrates' friend wanted truth, then you will choose to believe, and you will believe. Augustine said this, the world says, seeing is believing. The Bible says, believing is seeing. All right, I hope that straightened out some of the mess of yesterday. Now, I told you I was going to talk about controversy between believers and unbelievers using the book of Daniel as an example. I'm going to show you a second thing. It's the controversy between believers about a proper interpretation of the book of Daniel. Now, we're going to look at some of the various views about the book of Daniel when we get to the text after the sixth chapter. But for now, let me say that the world is big enough for all the present views that are presently held about the book of Daniel to all be wrong. Dr. Addison Leach was a friend of mine. He was a C.S. Lewis scholar. He was the academic dean at Tarkio College. He became the academic dean at Gordon Conwell Graduate School of Theology. And I loved him a lot. He was married, by the way, to Elizabeth Elliot. And I loved Ed Leach a lot. We were speaking at a conference one time, and a young man came up to Dr. Leach. We were having dinner and said, Dr. Leach, this is one of his former students. He said, I'm really struggling with some of the prophecies in the Bible. And I want you to help me. And he brought up, you don't need to know about all this, but he brought up the premillennial, postmillennial, amillennial controversy. And he asked Dr. Leach. And I thought it was so delightful to hear Dr. Leach saying, son, I don't have the foggiest idea. I'm not sure myself. I thought once I was sure, but I'm just not sure anymore. And then he said something really interesting to this young man. He said, let me tell you something. I believe that sometimes somebody, probably not a scholar and not a pastor and not a religious person, somebody's going to come up with some answers to the questions that all of us ask. And the rest of us were going to say, oh, yeah, I didn't see that before. And I thought Dr. Leach's comments to that young man were quite apt. There's some people who major in minors all the time. I mean, if you don't agree with everything they say in exactly the way they say it, then they're going to reject you and think you're ugly and your mother dresses you funny. And listen to me, that's going to kill the body of Christ. I mean, we are living in a time when paganism is lusty and materialistic and angry and bitter and contentious of what we are and what we believe. We can't afford to argue about the numbers of angels standing on the head of a pin. It's going to divide us. The best thing we can do for ourselves and for the world is to be what Jesus told us to be, and that is being in a loving family. Jesus said, they will know you're Christians by your premillennial views. They will know you are Christians by how you interpret the book of Daniel. They will know you are Christians by whether you dunk or sprinkle. They will know, no. Jesus said, they'll know you're Christians by your love. I remember in Bluefield, West Virginia one time, I was speaking for a conference. The man said, Steve, can I take you out to lunch? And I said, that's good. I like that. His name was Bud, and we went into this restaurant, and it was right under a mountain that overlooked the town of Bluefield. And as soon as we had ordered lunch, he pointed up to the top of that mountain. He said, I can remember a time right after I became a Christian when I stood on that mountain and looked over Bluefield and said, Lord, I'm the only one left. And I said, well, what did God say to you? He said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. See, he'd gotten so clear about what the Christian faith was, majoring in every minor, dotting every I, crossing every T, that he thought he was the only real Christian who was right, who was left. Anytime you think that, you're approaching cultic Christianity. You know, one of the sure signs of a cult? It's a bunch of people who get together and say, we're right about everything and everybody else is wrong. We're saved and nobody else is saved. We're the only people who have ever seen the truth. I told you a number of times about the dream that I have, that we all die, are dead and we're all home and it's all over and history is finished and we're standing before the throne and God comes and he says, I've got some bad news and I've got some good news for you. And somebody in the back says, tell us the bad news first. Probably a Presbyterian. And God says, the bad news is you are all wrong. And some of you were really wrong. And then he smiles and says, but the good news is that I talked to my son about you, and he said you're covered. He said you're okay. So you guys, all of you who were wrong, at least some, welcome home. Can Christians disagree and still be friends? I hope so. Because if we can't disagree and still be friends, we've got a very serious problem. My friend, the late Ray Steadman, used to say, an Irishman may not understand the issue, but he's willing to fight about it. That's true of Christians. You know, there are people who will fight about the book of Daniel and not even understand what the book of Daniel is about. So you need to know there are various interpretations. When we get to it, I'll lift up some of them before you. But remember, none of these are chiseled in concrete. I am, as you know, teach at a theological seminary. And one of the series of lectures I do is the importance of a ministry philosophy for the individual pastor. In other words, I say to the students, it's important that you write down things about which you will not compromise. But it's also important that you write down things in your ministry philosophy where you will compromise. And I am presently grading papers from one of my classes, and one of the essay questions was about ministry philosophy. And I said, delineate where you won't compromise and where you will compromise. Now, if a student said, I will not compromise about the premillennial or postmillennial eschatological views, then I fail that student. If the student says, I will not compromise on the veracity of God's Word, then he's liable to get an A. Because you got to know the difference between minors and majors. Can Christians disagree and still be friends? Of course we can. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, the staff has put together a booklet covering some of the material that I've covered in this Old Testament survey. And the first, and there are going to be, I think, two or three of these. And they include introductory comments, outline major themes, and it will be helpful to you as you study the Old Testament. If you'd like the first volume, Genesis to Esther, just let us know. We'll send it to you. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida 32794. In Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150. Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org and ask for the Genesis Esther Old Testament Survey booklet. We'll send it to you free as long as supplies last. And by the way, if you can help us financially, oh man, I would be so thankful. And you'll help so many of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can charge a contribution to your MasterCard Visa Discover cards included in your envelope, and for any contribution of any size, I'll send you the cassette teaching from Matthew 8, Dealing with Fear. Are you afraid? What can you do about it? Hey, be sure and give us the call letters of this station when you write or call. And, oh yes, Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.